Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk radio show and podcast with Justin Colvin. Figuring out which coverage is best for you can be overwhelming and confusing. The Medicare Help Desk is here to answer all your questions. And now, here's your host, Medicare Specialist Justin Colvin.
Welcome to the Medicare Help Desk radio show. Justin Colvin here, your host, entrepreneur, and insurance broker and consultant. Thanks for tuning in today. We really appreciate all of our listeners out there. We're going to be unpacking some really interesting information today's broadcast. So I want you to stay tuned in for both segments and definitely, take some notes. It's going to be a really action-packed session today. So today's episode 38, What Goes Wrong When You Work With Call Centers. Okay, what goes wrong when you work with call centers? So I've talked about this a little bit in some previous broadcasts, and I thought I'd spend a whole show talking about some of the issues, some of the problems and, you know, disturbances you're going to uncover. And many of you already probably out there listening have been pitched, right, have been presented something by some agent or salesperson in a call center somewhere in the country, right? And you got half-truths or bad information or misinformation. So we're going to uncover all that today and why I think you should stay away from them and work with an independent agent or an independent broker, preferably one in your area or one that just has a lot of experience that's committed to the business and to the industry, but not working in one of these like meat grinder type call center, formats where there might be hundreds of agents. Some of these things are tremendous, especially in Tampa. I used to live in Tampa and I worked in a call center, so I have firsthand knowledge of how the industry works. I got a lot of information. I learned a lot about the industry. It was helpful, but you just see some of the practices and things have gotten even worse since I left a call center about 7 years ago, okay, and started my own organization called the Medicare Help Desk. So if you're just tuning in with us again, it's Justin Colvin here with the Medicare Help Desk radio show. I own the Medicare Help Desk. We are an independent insurance agency right here in Tallahassee, Florida, and we are nationwide. We work in about 40 states around the country helping seniors every day with their Medicare plans. Now, that could be a Medicare supplement plan, a prescription drug plan, a Medicare Advantage plan, dental, vision, hearing, life insurance, critical illness, any of those above items, right? But the bulk of it is Medicare focused. And so we're working with our greatest generation, you know, the boomers, seniors that have been on Medicare or about to become on Medicare for the first time, helping them navigate this process, which is very difficult at times and very cumbersome. And it's overwhelming and confusing. And we try to provide value and simplicity and clarity so that you can make good, informed decisions, okay? That you can be an educated consumer. Hopefully you choose to use us to help you with your Medicare coverage. We don't charge a fee. Our services are totally free, totally complimentary. We get paid by the insurance company. If you choose to work with us, when we place that coverage, when we do the enrollment, that's how we're paid, okay? That's how most agents are paid, quite frankly. Nobody really charges a consulting fee. That doesn't really work in our industry. It's basically we're paid by the carrier, enrollment fee or commission when we place the business. So you can obviously choose to go direct to the carrier. I wouldn't advise that because you're cutting out the agent and you're also not getting any better deal. The prices or premiums, the coverage is identical, right? But you now lose your service. You lose your ambassador, if you will, or your representation. We provide a lot of value, especially in my office. I mean, I most of my clients all have my personal cell phone, okay? You're not going to get that with someone in a call center. You're also not going to get 7+ years of Medicare experience and 20+ years in the insurance business. We've been doing this for quite a while. And like I said, we represent a lot of companies in a lot of different states. We're also belong to our local Chamber of Commerce here in Tallahassee. We have this weekly radio show, provide a lot of education and value. We do a TV segment on Fox every Wednesday in the 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. news called the Medicare Minute. Another, brief kind of best practice or good information about Medicare, some actionable advice you can take home. We're number one on Google here in Tallahassee for Medicare search word requests. So we get a lot of traffic and we have like 52 5-star reviews now on Google. So definitely have a lot of attributes and accolades to our name. So we enjoy doing the show. And if you have questions, give us a call. Our number is 850-632-0033. Again, 850-632-0033. And our website is www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. So let's jump right into it. So this first segment, I'm just going to talk about some general problems with call centers. And what we're talking about is call centers that specialize in Medicare plans, doing enrollments. And I used to work at one in Tampa. and I can tell you firsthand what goes on. But how the industry's morphed since then has gotten even worse, unfortunately. So what a big lead draw, because you remember, these call centers have hundreds of agents sometimes, right? Some are smaller, some are larger. Some of the bigger ones have 100 to 300 agents or more. So think about how many leads, how many people you have coming into your outfit, your organization. If you're an owner of a 100-person call center, they're taking calls all day long. How do you feed 100 people, 100 agents, constant flow of leads all day to call? Well, they have lists they maintain. They have partnerships with other lead referral sources, like online, where you go to a website, you type in your information to get quotes, maybe for Medicare supplements, but you don't actually get the quote. What you get is an agent calling you. They'll give you the quotes, but you have to talk to somebody, right? You have to get an agent involved, but it doesn't really tell you that on the front end on a lead magnet. These are like landing pages or websites. And most websites that have these Medicare supplement quote requests, or you know, any kind of quote request for Medicare, it's really just a plug to get you to have you give them your information. That's what the design is. It's not really about the quotes. It's just to get someone to call you or text you. And it says in the fine print, you know, by submitting here your information, you agree to text messages or phone calls from our organization. It's right there. And it's just kind of unethical because they're not really giving you what you want. In a way, they kind of are, but there's a salesperson. So that's one of the techniques. Another one, and most notably, has been these TV commercials that run pretty much incessantly. And everybody knows what I'm talking about, whether you're on Medicare or not. I mean, we've all seen them. It's like infomercials that just run nonstop, but particularly during the AEP annual enrollment period, which we just came out of, which was, you know, October 15th through December 7th. And they use a lot of paid spokesmen like Mike Ditka and Joe Namath and George Foreman and many others, right? And many of these are seniors now, right? They were either in TV or they were football players, you know, celebrities that are now in the senior demographic. And so there's some familiarity with our current senior population. So they're trying to buy into the trust factor and the familiarity aspect. And many of these people, they're just paid spokesmen. That's all they are. They're not vetting the companies. They're not vetting the plans or the call center agents. They're not vetting the insurance product because they don't care. They're just there to get a check, right? They're getting paid to promote their particular product, right? So that's the first thing. Understand that. But that will drive phone calls. That will drive traffic because there is that familiarity. The other thing is just how they advertise. They'll put up, right, in these commercials, and these are huge lead magnets, okay? So when you run a TV ad that's got Joe Namath or George Foreman, and you promote that all our plans are $0 premium, and we give money back in your check, Social Security, which what they're referring to is a Part B give back or Part B credit, because they know that you have to pay this Medicare Part B premium. And there are plans that do this, not in most areas, though. Particularly here in Florida is where you'll see plans with Part B give back. But they'll promote it. They'll run these commercials all over the country. And you might be watching this commercial in Nebraska or, you know, Montana, South Dakota, Virginia, Texas. A lot of states just don't have significant Part B give back plans, but they don't care. They're just going to run the ad and say, call now. You'll get up to $140 put back in your check. And they'll talk about a flex card, which is like a debit card. Most plans don't even offer a flex card, okay? But some do. And they can always put in the fine print. You know, it's always subject to plan availability and your zip code. But the idea is to get you to call in, right? They're trying to create a lead. It's a lead magnet. That's all that TV ad really is designed to create awareness and visibility and to get you to call, okay? Once you call, you're going to get on the phone with a salesperson, right? And they don't really have your best interest at heart. They're there to sell a policy. That's the ultimate goal. And they've now, it's like the hook, right? They've hooked you in by the celebrity on TV and the flashy ad that promotes, you know, zero premium, free dental, free vision, $140 back in your check, okay? Free gym membership. And some of these things are true, but a lot of them, especially the money back, okay? And the flex card and these other huge features they offer, they put up big value. And they're not available in most markets, and they're not available for most people. But the fact that they can say, you know, it's available, possibly available, people miss that, right? It's just they're going to call, and it's designed to elicit a response. So you have millions of people calling these commercials. They get routed to a call center based on your area. You get to a representative that's licensed in your particular state, your zip code, and then there's the pitch. You're going to get pitched now. You're going to get presented a product. And then they may even tell you, sorry, you're not eligible for this particular benefit that you saw in the ad. but wait, I've got this other plan I can talk to you about, you see? So ultimately, that creates a lot of traffic. There's a couple big ones in Tampa, you know, right here in our home state of Florida, that use these spokesmen, that use these commercials to draw in more leads. Because remember, they have to have fresh people to talk to every day. So there has to be, and if you have 100 agents that you're trying to feed with sales opportunities, think about how many people they have to generate traffic to, right? To bring them in, to have people to present to. So now you can kind of start understanding the entire business model and how it's set up. It's not really for the benefit of the consumer. It's for the benefit of them, obviously. And so if you understand that, you'll see why a lot of the unscrupulous tactics are used, because it has to support their model, their business model. So I'm going to go over more of this in our second segment. I'm going to actually give you some specific examples in the second segment of things I actually encountered, because I got these calls. Here's truly Justin Colvin. I'm 41 years of age. I'm not on Medicare, but I've gotten calls, and I went through the, let me just go through the script and see what happens. And I'll talk about that in the second segment. So stay tuned here. Justin Colvin with the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show. Justin Colvin, your host. Again, we thank you, listeners out there in Medicare land. Yeah, and every week we're here, you know, for half an hour just unpacking the intricacies of Medicare and hoping to bring some more value and helping you understand this stuff a little bit better, okay, every week. So, again, Justin Colvin here, Medicare Help Desk, our website, www.themedicarehelpdesk.com. Go to the Contact Us page, shoot us a line if you have questions about the show or if you want me to do a review of your plan. Again, we have 30-plus insurance companies. I do business in 40-plus states around the country. We're a national firm. We help with all types of Medicare coverage, Medicare supplement, Medicare Advantage, prescription coverage, and everything else in between. And we'll give you an unbiased opinion. If we can help you, great. If we're not, I'll tell you you're in the best position possible and send you on your merry way. But we always try to leave people better than we found them. That is the ultimate goal of our organization, our business, and this radio show is really devoted more to education, okay, to empowering consumers, to giving you actionable advice and best ways to navigate the system. That's the idea. And today's topic, I think, provides a lot of value because everybody that I've talked to, okay, my clients have seen these commercials. They all know what I'm referencing. And if you're listening, you know it too, because they don't stop running them. It's like my people watch them and say, I didn't think I could change in the middle of April or middle of March or whatever. But they don't, you know, people always have opportunities to change if they're new to Medicare, if they just moved. And remember, 11,000 people every day turn 65. So there's a huge amount of audience they can get that is brand new to the program. So they're going to keep running them. Hopefully, Medicare reins in some of this stuff because it's just really unethical and unscrupulous advertising is what's going on. And I talked about some of that in the first segment, that the fact they use all these paid spokesmen, Joe Namath, Mike Ditka, George Foreman, many others, right, that don't even have these plans, okay, that they're representing. They're pitching you on a plan that they don't even have. A lot of them have plans. If they're retired from the NFL, they've got a pension health plan provided by that large organization. So they don't even know what they're talking about. They're just reading off a script, right? They're paid money to promote this stuff. So that's the first problem. Secondly, how they promote the product and what they promote about it. We've talked about that, how they just talk about all these benefits that may or may not even be available, so depending on your zip code. And some of the benefits are benefits of Medicaid, not Medicare, like getting your entire Part B premium paid for. Very few plans throughout the country will give you a Part B give back that pays that entire premium. But if you get Medicaid, your state Medicaid benefit, because you're lower income, then it will be paid. But they don't say that, right? They don't explain that. They just talk about getting money back. Call us for something that has nothing to do with Medicare. It's a Medicaid benefit, right? But it draws people in, you see? So you see what they're doing. And like I mentioned in the first segment, this is really more of a lead magnet because it's the call centers that drive a lot of this traffic through the TV ads, through the landing pages on websites to get like lead capture forms, because they have to feed all these insurance agents, hundreds of agents potentially in a call center that have to be able to take calls 8 hours a day. They got to pay them. They're paying them an hourly wage. Think about the amount of cost they have as a business, right? So they have to have people to talk to all day to pitch a product, to pitch a program. And that's what they're doing. Now, one of the tactics this last fall was foreign call centers would reach out, because I had customers call me and they'd say, I get these calls all the time. It says spam risk. and it's a foreign person that can barely speak English talking about Medicare. Obviously, it's originating from outside the U.S. And then if you answer the questions in a certain way, they will then transfer you to a U.S.-based call center where you'll speak to somebody else that might screen you, and then you might get transferred again to an actual agent. So there's like a couple layers of communication before you get to an actual licensed insurance agent. And that's unscrupulous right there, right? Okay. So that's breaking a lot of laws. I mean, that you're not supposed to do that. You can't outbound call people for Medicare. But I got these calls. And I mentioned that. And I'm going to go over some of these things that happened. But I'm 41 years of age. I'm not on Medicare. I don't even know how I got on their call list. But I did. And I got calls from them. So I kind of played along with it. And I'm going to go over that and unpack that in a few minutes. One thing I didn't mention in that first segment I'm going to go over now is, remember, when you actually get to the salesperson that's in these call centers, many times they don't have a lot of experience. Okay. When I worked at one in Tampa, we had... It was like a meat grinder. I mean, there was constantly turnover, right? People coming and going. Now, there were some seasoned agents that lasted, but many of us got burned out. I left just because I didn't like where the industry was heading for call centers and how, you know, they put the expectations on us how to deal with customers. I'm like, I'm not going to do things this way. It's not the way I do business, you know? So it got worse, and now I can't imagine where it's at. This was like 6 years ago, and I worked in a call center. But that's the problem. So if they have an organization that's not really built on transparency and ethics and compliance and doing things the right way, which we know they're not, because they're using commercials, right, that tout benefits that aren't necessarily available, paid spokesmen, and then they have overseas call centers doing like outbound calls. That's a violation of CMS. So then why are they doing that? They're doing that to make a lot of money. They're doing that to create a huge boon for their business. It's not about you as the policy owner or you as the customer making sure you're in the right plan. It's just about enriching their own pockets, right? So if that's the culture that exists, what kind of salespeople do you think are going to remain in that kind of atmosphere, right? People that have integrity and honesty and transparency with their business dealings, they're not going to want to be a part of that. If they get hired in that type of organization, they're going to quickly see what they're about and leave. So who are you left with? Not the most reputable people, okay? And then a lot of them aren't very seasoned. They're maybe been in the business for 3 months, 6 months, barely a year, a lot of them. And if they don't stay around, if they don't perform and produce the sales numbers, they're going to cut them and they're going to find a new recruit, a new salesperson for that call center. It's like a meat grinder, literally. So would you want to do business with someone like that? You have to ask yourself, if you did and there's a problem, a customer service issue with your plan in 6 to 12 months, if you call in, there's a good chance that agent, he or she won't even be there, right? And they're not paid on persistency. They're not paid on renewals and customer service and satisfaction. They're not. They're paid on new business. So the whole goal is to get you to enroll with them on a plan, to change your plan, and then it's deuces. You're out. You're not going to hear from them, okay? So that's, unfortunately, I'm not trying to brandish all call centers like this, but a large chunk of them are by their very nature because of the way the business is structured with so much overhead. They have to have sales constantly, right, to cover. I mean, think about all the expenses to hire 100 call center agents and the technology, right, and the computers, the headsets, all the insurance, the rent. There's a lot of cost behind this, so there has to be a lot of revenue to offset that. And it's just the nature of the, unfortunately, the model, the way it's built, it's not designed for the end user. So we always recommend using a local agent. So let me go over some of the things that I encountered when I got pitched by a salesperson from one of these call centers, okay? So first of all, I got a call, and I'm 41 years of age. I've mentioned that. You know, I'm not on Medicare. I'm not on disability. I don't get Medicare due to disability. You know, so I don't know how I got on their list, but somehow I got on their list. They called me and I had talked to someone initially and let me just play along, see how this goes. But I did have like a screener person and I was honest. I'm like, I'm 41. I'm not on Medicare, right? But my dad is. And so we can go over that. And so once I finally got to the agent that was, you know, licensed in his state, which in this case is South Carolina, you know, they asked me for his Medicare ID number. And I'm like, well, I don't have that. I'd be on his Medicare card. I'm not with him right now. He's in a different state. But I'm like, you don't need that to look at plans. And she says, no, I do, because it helps me see what he's eligible for. Okay, that's a lie. That's a bold-faced lie, because you don't need someone's Medicare ID number to look at plans. You can go to Medicare.gov. You can go to Aetna, Humana.com, any corporate website like that, and look at their plans. But Medicare.gov houses all the carriers and all the plans in your location. And you don't have to provide your Medicare ID number, okay? It's just public information. You can look at the plans. So they're lying. Why do they want to do that? Well, I think it's two things. One, by getting your Medicare number, they can enroll you in a plan, okay? Possibly even without your knowledge. But second of all, it's like testing the waters. They're seeing how committed you are to giving out information. And if they can get your Medicare number, they probably can get you to enroll. But if you refuse it, it shows you have a healthy dose of skepticism. This is my thought here. I'm just speculating. But their goal, member, is to sell you a plan. Even though you may be in the best plan, potentially, their goal is to put you in another plan. That is the ultimate goal. That's why they spent the money to get Mike Ditka or George Foreman to promote these products and all these expensive commercials, right? They have to pay for that. They need sales. They need enrollments. So by getting your Medicare number, it's kind of like testing the waters a little bit to see how committed you are to giving up your personal information. If you are from the very beginning, it's probably likely they could close you, right? If you're not, it shows you maybe have a healthy dose of skepticism, which is good, and they're probably not going to close you. But that was a lie, first one, okay? And this all happened like within 5 or 10 minutes. Second lie, I asked her, well, can we just go over like basically what plans or what insurance companies are available in his, you know, state and county? And he's in Columbia, South Carolina, which is Richland County. Okay. So I know what companies are available there because I'm an agent in 40 states, including my state I was born in. I grew up in South Carolina, and I know what's available in that county. She only mentioned three companies. Okay. There were three other companies that she didn't go over. And I asked her, I said, is there anybody else? Like, you didn't mention UnitedHealthcare or Blue Cross. And she said, well, nope, they're not there. I don't see them. I'm like, okay, that's the second lie. So kind of ending earlier than I thought. You know, I'll go over this in more detail on another topic, another broadcast. But we do appreciate you listening and tuning in. Again, like, stay away from those call centers. Work with an independent broker. It's Justin Colvin here with the Medicare Help Desk Radio Show. Have a good week, folks. It's your thing. Do what you want to do.